World Radio. We're about to be in conversation with Busisiwe Ntuli, who is a qualified assessor, who is also a coach in grooming professionals. She's a growth strategist, a dialogue facilitator, corporate affairs, and a talk radio enthusiast. And today we're having a very interesting conversation together. We're talking about some of the skills that are in demand currently in South Africa. Busi, can I call you Busi? Good afternoon and welcome to the show.
Good afternoon, Nolly, and thank you so much for having me at Advances World Radio, and good afternoon to your listeners as well.
Thank you so much for that warm welcome. You are most welcome. It is your first time tuning in, right?
Yes, it is, definitely.
And I believe you deserve a gift from us to keep you coming. A gift will be coming to you, making its way to you. But before that, let's get into our conversation, Busi. So today we're talking about, you know, skills that are scarce or on demand in South Africa. And before I even get to what those skills are, I want to know, what is a skill?
Okay, so to just understand a skill, we firstly have to differentiate what is the difference between a talent and skill, because those two aspects are really not the same.
Okay.
So, yes, we're going to start by explaining what exactly does talent, what is talent and what is skill. So a talent is something that you inborn ability or you have a natural aptitude for it as a person. Mm-hmm. However, sometimes it's often hidden. So, and most of the time it will need recognition or it will need further grooming.
Mm-hmm.
However, a skill is something that you learn, you know, something that you develop, that you give effort to. You know, it's either a voluntary or at work, you know. Most of the time it happens when you find a job whereby there's skills training providers or you go through under mentorship as well as internship. It's part of the skills innate opportunity to also expect yourself in important differences between talent and skills.
Thank you so much for breaking it down for us so beautifully, because I think a lot of us were confusing a skill with a talent, right? And we didn't just didn't understand, Uti, I know how to do this. Why am I not getting this job?
Yes,
okay.
Yes.
But going
And just to add more, Nolly, sorry to just cut you off there. And just for the listeners to also understand it much better, is that the talent is often can also inherit talent. You know, someone in the family was able to do something, or maybe someone was a singer. It can also be something that it overflows to other generations. And also a skill is something that you need to create expertise on. You know, you learn something in order to specialize on it.
A skill, you can be an expert in it. You can specialize in that particular skill. Okay, so now that we've identified what a skill is, or we have a better understanding of what a skill is, what skills are scarce or are in demand in South Africa right now?
That is a very tough question to answer, Nolu. I'll tell you why. Because firstly, we need to understand what are the significant contributors to local scarcity to certain skills that is currently happening in the country. Because as we can see that we're in a very dire situation in terms of our economical growth and also the stability of the economy. So now we need to find out what are the skills that are critical to enable the economy to withstand all the retention or the recession that might occur in the country.
Mm-hmm.
And also, firstly, we need to understand what makes it so difficult, you know, in order to accumulate certain skills in the country. You know, firstly, we need to understand that our backgrounds as people, they're not the same.
Mm-hmm.
Other people might find that they're very smart in certain subjects at school, but they can't further their studies due to the nature of the environment. You know, they're from a very poor background and what so forth. Firstly, we need to understand what contributes to the scarcity of those skills before we can even say these are the skills that
are scarce.
The two primary factors is the expensive tertiary education, which often results to a smaller proportion of the population being able to receive the tertiary education. And then the second one is that the lower wages also result in highly skilled workers leaving South Africa employers for better paid jobs and opportunities overseas.
Mm-hmm.
So right now, because we understand what contributes to the scarcity of certain skills, we need to understand what are the skills that are currently in demand in the country right now. Because according to the Career Junction, they say that the job sectors in South Africa have hit the highest skills shortage, and which results to information technology, financial sectors, and also the shortages are being felt amongst across the board, including medical, health, marketing, design, media arts, business management, as well as engineering. So the critical skills that we currently do not have in the country and are in demand, it's mostly the IT sector, which is your software development, the business architecture, your database design, your data analysis, data engineering. And then also in the financial sector, we do find, according to research, that external auditing, taxation, actuarial management, financial analysis are also quite an impact of scarcity within the country. But now the question is that how often people are aware, because Nolu, I can tell you that some of the youth right now, we are crying that we don't regret, but we seem like the qualifications that we've acquired, now they're starting to be slowly and slowly redundant because there's so much technological advancement that is coming into the country. There's artificial intelligence. When we were hit by COVID, we also knew the importance of remote working, you know, all those aspects into adapting into technology completely. So those are the key aspects that are currently in demand and people that need to pay attention also. And I think also occupational health and then as well as, what do you call it? I forgot the other one that I wanted to mention. Coding, coding is also very important because there are other institutions that also are teaching young kids on how to code, you know, on how to develop programs in order for them to be data scientists and what so forth.
But do you think then the government is not doing its homework? And this is just, you know, getting your understanding or your perception. Do you think the Bible is not, I mean, listen to me with the Bible. Do you think the government is not doing its homework in the sense that, let me just, you mentioned, you know, also, you know, financial literature in the finance sector, there are gaps and there are skills that are in demand. And I know particularly there are so many people out there who are, I don't know if we call them talented or we call them, as you're saying, skilled, but there are people out there who call themselves, you know, I'll say financial literature moguls, right? Who are freelancers. They are doing their own thing because the government does not have those jobs, or those jobs are very few and in between, or they require 10 years of experience for you to be recognized and be given that particular position. Do you think the government is doing its homework amongst the youth?
No, definitely. I would confidently say no, they're not. I think, firstly, we have a challenge of the leadership itself within the country. We are not led by people who understand the groundbreaking crisis of the community or of the youth. So they really do not understand what actually we are going through, and it's going to take so much time, because I feel like if we had a very younger government, they were going to relate to some of the challenges, because they would relate to some of the experiences that they would have passed. But because they've never been there, then it becomes very difficult to actually understand what exactly is affecting the youth. But the government, the impact and the influence of government, it's we were not going to be at the 32% unemployment high rate. And we are the first country that is very high on that. And the second country is Spain with 12.8%. So you can imagine from 32% and with a difference of 12.8%, that's a huge difference to also to make us to be in the first country that has the highest unemployment rate. And what exactly causes that? Because the mandate of the government was to provide jobs to society so that the society are able to provide or able to live a standard, able to afford the standard of life, but the government is failing to do that. Yes, there are agencies that are dedicated to support the youth, but however, the acceleration of these programs they don't reach the key people. You know, the youth is not working. They can't afford to go to interviews. Others, they don't even have money to take a taxi to go to an interview. Mm-hmm. They can't even afford to buy professional wear. You know, how do they reach those places where those programs are situated at? And there's still a scarcity of those programs, because I believe that, Nolu, each and every township, each and every rural area, to this point, must have an entrepreneurship hub, or they must have a library or sort of a career hub whereby they would know where to go, where they can apply freely. You know, can you imagine that the youth now still has to pop out money to apply for a course at the university? I think the government could have provided a subsidy there to say that if you still want to continue with the studies, then it can provide certain amounts of money to help out to register, to apply for courses at varsity. The government doesn't play a very vital role in ensuring that the crisis of the youth are met, because right now this has resulted to very crime rate, because now they'll tell you when they hijack you that as it ends, it's not us, it's the situation thinking that we can take, you know, incidents are equal, there are no jobs. But what is the government doing? Are they hearing the cries of the youth? Because now a lot of people are going to school, but now to get into an organization, to get an internship, that is also a very high high challenge for them. Hence, some others end up committing suicide because they feel like what they studied for, it actually just went to waste because they're not getting a job. And you might find that you even finish your qualification on time record, but because of the situation in the country, scarcity. It causes so much distress that there's so much scarcity. But the problem now, the huge problem is that also as professionals, how do we adapt from the courses that we've studied and also to make ourselves relevant within the new era that is currently facing us in the corporate world? So it's quite challenging for both the parties, either you're a graduate or you're still matric, as well as a young professional, because now courses are being redundant day by day.
Yeah, no, they are. And, you know, it's actually a very sad situation that, you know, the country of South Africa in particular finds itself in. 32% is no child's play. We are almost halfway, you know, to the population, I want to say. Imagine if we reach 50% and we are not able to, you know, find employment for the youth. And I mean, if there's one generation that is very versatile and also so willing to learn, it is this generation. This generation, they are easy, man. They are flexible. They are just willing, as long as they can put bread on the table, as long as they have a good working environment. I want to believe that they are easy peasy. But the government, as I say, is not doing its homework. Here's an interesting one that I find, very funny from the government, before I let you go, Busi, is that, you know, when I was doing my own research, and I'm saying this because my five-year-old says he wants to be a pilot when he grows up, right? And I'm asking myself, so you want to be a pilot? I can name the airlines that are functional within South Africa now, talking about, you know, putting back into our own economy. We can't even do that because we don't have airlines. We don't have airlines. So do we even have the capacity to employ, or can we even write articles such, you know, as such, saying that these skills are in demand when we have just four airlines operational? How then do we say we are in need of pilots when there are just four airlines operational within the whole of South Africa? Where are the other children going to work? They're obviously going to go overseas. Any thoughts on that?
True. You know, it's a very interesting thought because, you know, when I'm thinking of South African Airways, it would have been nice if they also started with the South African Airways Academy, where they trained young people from disadvantaged backgrounds, you know, because piloting is also it's in demand. However, it's very expensive. It's very expensive to become a pilot. And most of the courses, they're done by private institutions. So you won't find pilot courses mostly at universities. So it would have been nice. It would have been very, very helpful for government to each and every solution they provide or to each and every action they want to implement to also provide a certain skills academy.
Mm.
You know, it would have been recommend.
Okay, sorry, we got cut off there for a bit. I lost you at, it would have been nice if the government could provide a skills academy for every?
To cater for children that are interested into pilot, because mm-hmm. alternatively, if your parents cannot afford to pay school fees for you or in tuition fees for you to become a pilot, then the other option is for you to go for Air Force or SANDF in order to become
mm-hmm.
a pilot. But remember, that's also being in a competitive world, because you will now have to look at your results and how did you perform, you know,
mm-hmm.
and then it wouldn't cater for each and everyone, you understand?
Mm.
So for me, it's a very difficult challenge, because now we all have to make sure that we prioritize our children in order to take more advantage of the STEM skills, which is the science, technology, engineering, and math, because apparently it's also one of the key subjects that they need to pursue in order to articulate all the careers that are in demand. So they would rather be put into place, they would rather put them into a very high advantage if they studied those courses, because now it makes it easier for them to be able to articulate the challenges that might come in the future, because we already know that what's going to happen next, you know.
Mm.
And the sad part, Nolo, about this is that South Africa is going to lose talent. It's going to lose people that have skills. It means now other countries are going to benefit
definitely from
our people. So what are we going to be left with? We're not going to be left with anything. And when they come back, others might even want to leave South Africa for good because of the crime, the safety.
It's everything. Also
part of the decision. So I don't know how we're going to help our children to navigate and also create confidence more than anything. Create confidence for our children to be able to be able to provide critical solutions to our country. But I trust that maybe in time God will reveal, in time we will know what exactly is expected, especially for us mothers, and also to ensure that our kids are going into the right path. And also wanted to emphasize the importance now of digital marketing, you know, being influencers. I'm very proud of South Africans and young people, how they are navigating through the space.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the space is very nicely cemented by these young professionals. And I really love it, because if it wasn't for that, Nolo, can you imagine what frustration it could have created in us? As the end user of the content, it also relieves some stress to say that, you know what, I enjoyed watching content from such and such. I enjoyed watching content from such and that. And I think that it's something that youth is boldly entering into. And I feel like the government can also provide resources. I think the most challenge that the government is not understanding is to provide resources for the youth, you know, provide data for those who are unemployed looking for a job. Why can't the government just at least subscribe to these people? Where is this SARS money that is going? We're being taxed all the time for income tax. So where is the money really going? Can we really be sure of what exactly our money is going to and what impact does it do? Because we know that we're being taxed on everything, but mm-hmm. we're not sure now
where
exactly
going.
Is the money going.
Yeah, we know. For the best part, we know that it is definitely not coming back into the country, but it is going to feed other people's stomachs. And unfortunately, this is all the time that we have for this conversation. It's been a great one, Busi. Thank you so much. And I think you mentioned a very important, very imperative point, where you're saying if only the government could provide a skills training academy. And I remember one person also once said, maybe we should adopt the style of, you know, the Chinese education, if I'm remembering it correctly. Mm-hmm. It's a Chinese education where it's more practical than theory. Maybe mm-hmm. it's something that we can introduce in our schools as
definitely.
Well. You know, yeah, it is 28 minutes to 3 o'clock. This is Faith Out Loud. We're in conversation with Busi Siwentuli, who was talking to us about skills that are in demand in South Africa right now. Busi, thank you so much for your time. It's been an awesome conversation. Have a great afternoon.
Thank you. You too. Thank you to your listeners.
Thank you. That was Busisiwe Ntuli talking to us on skills that are in demand in South Africa. It is